This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nick and Ken have opened up the BetQL waiting room as they get ready for another night of bringing you the wagertainment.
People passing us, people yelling at us, congratulating us.
Hey, moron, pick up your phone. Start betting.
What are you doing?
This is the Bettors Pregame.
Every game here is Game 7. No hot take BS on this show.
We love winning. Money is awesome.
It's time for the You Better You Bet Pregame Show, presented by BetMGM. Here's your host, Jake Hassan.
Welcome in. This is the You Better You Bet pregame show. You can watch this show. You can watch You Better You Bet. You can also watch my show, Bet Slips and Bet Flips, anytime live 24/7 on the BetQL network and free on the Odyssey app. Check us out on Twitch, YouTube, BetQLnetwork.com. You can also watch You Better You Bet and my show, Bet Slips and Bet Flips. Nope, just You Better You Bet on Stadium from 4 to 6 Eastern. WatchStadium.com, YouTube TV, Roku channel, Fubo TV, Amazon, Samsung TV Plus, Tubi, and more. And if that wasn't enough options for you, you can listen to You Better You Bet live on Sirius Channel 160 and Sirius XM 205. However you are watching or listening to us right now, here's what we have coming up on the show today. First hour at 4 o'clock, going to be recapping all the betting action from last night, NBA, NHL, all the playoff action that your little heart desires. In the second hour, 5 o'clock, Anthony Amico from Establish the Run. He's going to join Nick and Ken to talk the NFL draft, everything that he has, everything that he's mocking, thinking, hearing. Nick and Ken are going to talk to him. And then at 5:40, Matt Moore from the Action Network joins to break down everything that we've seen in the NBA playoffs, everything that we might see going forward, what he's betting, what his breakdowns are. Nick and Ken will talk to Matt Moore at 5:40. And then, of course, you already know what the last hour, the power hour, all of Nick and Ken's favorite bets, NBA, NHL, and of course, NFL draft as we get closer and closer to that. But for right now, we are recapping the NBA playoffs. They've been awesome so far. A lot of awesome games. Last night was really great. Phoenix and Minnesota, the Timberwolves, cover the spread. Game goes under the total. Minnesota now leads the series 2-0. And in a shocking turn of events, because this is, of course, the guy that everyone's expecting to lead the scoring, Jaden McDaniels led 25 points as every T-Wolves star finished in double figures. But just like we all assumed, Jaden McDaniels leads the way with 25. Everyone had that on their bingo card for sure. Milwaukee and Indiana, the Pacers come out, dominate game two, win outright, push the game over the total. Indy ties the series up, game apiece. Pascal Siakam led the way, 37 points for him, leading the Pacers. Their acquisition at the trade deadline comes through in a big spot. And then the nightcap, what everyone was talking about, what everyone went to bed after watching. Luka and the Mavs hold off the Clippers, win outright. Game goes way under the total. Dallas and LA are tied in the series 1-1. Luka had 32. had an awesome three also at the game. And then on just the NBA, Nick and Ken obviously are going to talk about this a lot. And we have an awesome interview with Danny Green. He joined the show yesterday. He was on with Nick and Ken, talked about it, broke down all the NBA action that he's seen, talked about what he expects going forward. So we'll get into it right now in a second. Odyssey NBA insider Danny Green, he joined Nick and Ken to recap the chaos from the first round of the NBA postseason. Can the Knicks actually make a run? Are the Nuggets just the best team in the West? Let's go now. Let's see what three-time NBA champion Danny Green had to say to Nick and Ken.
You know LeBron and AD pretty well. Do you think they feel defeated? Like, what's the mindset now after, like, another gut punch loss to Denver, down 2-0 in the series?
Like, I watched all the games yesterday, and I'm two deflating games. I'm sure Philly was very deflated, but Lakers, I think, even bigger at loss. You know what I'm saying? A bigger gut punch, like you said, because of how much they were up and lost and how well they were playing. Mentally, I think after a game like that, you got to feel like defeated. You got to find ways to get it back, though. And that takes maturity. And those guys have been in the league long enough. They know Bron's been in the league long enough. He knows he's been down 0-2 before and be able to come back in a series and win a series down 3-1. He's pretty much the only person to ever do it that we've seen alive. I don't know if there's anybody else. Obviously, Denver's done it 3-1 a couple times, but he's done it in the finals. So they know what it takes. But said mentally and emotionally, that is defeating. But you have the right group to bounce back and the right coaching staff. It starts with that, all the way from the front office down to the last player on the bench. Everybody's got to have that belief system and that positive energy that we can turn this thing around. And there's nobody better than LeBron to instill that in his guys and AD. So they're going to need that from those guys, and everybody's got to follow suit. You know, D'Lo's got to keep his confidence up. Austin Reeves got to, find it. Rui's got to find it. Guys at the bench, Gabe Vincent, Spencer Dinwiddie, Torian Prince, those guys got to find ways to contribute, even though they're getting little minutes. Like, it's tough to do it in such a short time, but all those plays, 50-50 balls of diving on those balls, scrapping, steals, rebounds, and maybe a bucket or two here and there, those things matter when it comes to beating a team like Denver. So hopefully they can mentally bounce back from this one, but that was a tough, mentally draining game for them.
Danny, I want to ask you about kind of like the officiating and what you see now, because, D'Angelo Russell talked about this a little bit. The Sixers filed a formal grievance with the NBA about the officiating in the first two games. And I mean, I'm sure, like, we're just kind of like sports fans, right? Bettors, like, we didn't play anything close to professional basketball. But even we're used to watching, like 140, 130 NBA games the last 5-6 years. And you're kind of used to playing in games that were officiated that way. Yeah. And now you see what's happening in this postseason. Like, give us an idea, because we never played, give us an idea. Like, when you watch how these games are called now, like no fouls, like clotheslines at the basket, that kind of stuff. Like, how much different is it really as somebody who played?
It's a difference, man. I said the biggest thing that we have issues with when it's not consistent. I enjoy the physicality. I think most guys do. Some guys don't get the benefit of the doubt. Some guys do. Some guys can be physical with. Some guys you can't be because there's, quote unquote superstars. Like, some guys can get the fouls they want. Some guys can't. You let this guy get mugged and this guy, like, when it's inconsistent is when we have an issue with it. I don't like the flopping much. That's one thing I've expressed. It's hard to watch the game, especially when it's that physical and guys are flopping, trying to bait the refs into fouls. And some of those fouls, like, were unbelievable. Some of the fouls they overturned, it's like, how are you getting this wrong? Some of them that they missed, they're like, what is going on here? Like, why the hell is this overturned? How did you miss this? Like, especially this crucial moment in the game. But like they said, people talk about it being up 20, man, you have a lot of leeway of missing some calls, missing stuff. Like, you got to, ultimately it comes down to you guys. Even if the ref misses calls, they can't miss 20. Like, they got to miss 10 to 15 calls for it to really be like, all right, we got screwed. 2 or 3 calls. Okay. I understand. And that could cost you a game. But what happens to the other 10 possessions that you guys, 6 or 8 possessions that you guys missed out on that you could have taken advantage of? You got to find ways to score. You got to find ways to get stopped. There's no excuse for that. But, it is tough to watch. It is tough to play in when you feel like you're being given the short end of the stick. But I enjoy the physicality. I enjoy watching. I love it. Just keep it consistent. If you're going to let the guys play, let us play. You know what I'm saying? Don't call the ticky-tack foul here for this guy and then let him play because this guy has the ball and he's a no-name,
I don't know if like Nick Nurse and Joel Embiid would agree with that assessment today. You better, you've got Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley. We're talking the NBA playoffs. Odyssey Sports NBA Insider, three-time NBA champion Danny Green. Danny on Twitter at dgreen_14. Insider calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features. How about this? Like available H-Track all-wheel drive, and of course, the standard, third H-track. Row seating. Yeah, got to have
like
the H-Track.
Yeah,
much better than a normal track. Danny, you last played with the Sixers, so I know you're very familiar with this team. Joel Embiid saying after last night's game that they're still going to win the series. Do you agree with him?
Who's going to win the series?
That the Sixers are going to beat the Knicks.
Yeah, Embiid.
I don't. I mean, of course he should. He's supposed to think so. Right. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they can extend it for sure. I think they can even it up and go to 6 or 7-game series, but ultimately I think, you know, when the Knicks would have to lose 4 straight or 4 out of the next 5. I don't see Philly getting the 4 games before the Knicks get 2 more, you know, and especially if they go back to the Garden at some point. But the Knicks, they're a really good team, man. They know how to rebound. They know how to gut it out. They make the plays. And Jalen Brunson hasn't been playing his best basketball. You know, mind you, I said Philly, Joel and Tyrese have played really good. Some of their best basketball, the others haven't, you know, played their best basketball. So I'm assuming the others will play better at home. But when Jalen Brunson wakes up, man, you're in a lot of trouble, especially with those, because they're winning games without him. And OG hasn't really done a bunch of stuff, and their bench has been decent. But if that man wakes up and actually plays in his rhythm and efficiency, they're doing a great job of him. Take nothing away from Kelly Oubre, Nick Batum, all those guys using their length and making it difficult for him. But he's going to figure out at some point, and he's going to get going. And if he does, when he does, it's going to be real trouble for Philly. And I can't see him having bad games, like 4 games straight, you know?
We're kind of trying to figure out, like, Nick and I really like Denver. We bet Denver to win the West. We bet them to win the title. Mm-hmm. Like, they're really good, obviously. We're just trying to figure out, all right, in the Western Conference, Suns, Timberwolves, Clippers, Mavericks, Thunder, maybe the Pelicans. If Denver gets by the series, like, is there a team in the bracket on Denver's side that you think could give them, like, a really compelling 7-game series, maybe upset them, but at least, like, give them a big test, ask a lot of questions? Do you think there's a team in the West, aside from the Lakers, obviously, that could do that?
To give Denver the test, I like more Minnesota, man. If Cat gets his rhythm back, you know, I think those two bigs match up with Jokic pretty well. The Gobert, Cat, one could play weak side, one could guard him, body him up, and they use their length to give him problems. And if Ant Edwards, they have other guys step up, like Nickeil Alexander, Walker, Slow-Mo, like their guys come with the bench, I think they can give him trouble. So that's the only other team that I see. You know, OKC, New Orleans is going to be a hell of a series. And also, depending on what that Clippers-Dallas series looks like, I don't know who's going to be healthy for the Clippers, but if Kawhi gets healthy, that's another team that could be. But if he doesn't, Dallas, one of the teams out of those two groups can be a hell of a matchup for anybody, whether it's in the Western Conference Finals or in the Finals.
And it does look like, or I don't want to say it does look like, but it seems like Kawhi Leonard is going to play tonight for the Clippers against the Dallas Mavericks. Kawhi had shoot around earlier today. The Clippers were an underdog in the game, now about out to being a small favorite. Danny, is it as easy as saying the Boston Celtics will represent the East in the NBA Finals? And if it's not the Celtics, who do you like to come out of the East?
I mean, I think it's as easy as saying that. I mean, right now, it's theirs to lose. But the only other team that I see that can match up with them well is any of the teams that come out of this Philly-New York series. Outside of that, Milwaukee's pretty good, but without Giannis, even with Giannis, I don't see it. They're still figuring out after the trade deadline and the coaching change, they've been very shaky up and down. Cleveland and Orlando just don't have enough. So the only teams that I can see give them a run for their money is this New York-Philly series.
Danny, about like 30, 45 seconds to go here. I think a lot of people agree with you. And I like a lot of people think Boston and Denver are just going to play in the NBA Finals. These have been two of the best teams all year. Maybe that's just what it's going to be. They played really memorable regular season games against each other with Denver winning, but like close. If they play in the NBA Finals, I can tell you Boston will be a favorite in the betting market. Maybe that surprises you with Jokic. And they won last year. Yeah. Do you agree with that? Who would you pick in how many games? Boston and Denver in about 45 seconds.
I mean, obviously you can't compare regular season to the playoffs, but watching regular season, it just showed me that Denver has some type of a mental edge on them as well, and just more maturity. So that's why I would give the edge to Denver. I do think Boston has more talented across the board and a deeper team, but just something about them, a lot of people say, makes them vulnerable. And that'd be me lack of experience or maybe coaching experience. You know, it's Joe Mazzulla's second year, maybe third year. Mike Malone has has an edge on him with that. And to those other guys, because it just, I don't know. Denver just brings a different type of tenacity where it's like you kind of, I wouldn't say fear them, but you like, you know, this is like something about Boston makes them seem a little more vulnerable than Denver.
Just a reminder that if you want to see that conversation and more all across the BetQL network, you can see that anytime, YouTube, Twitch, the BetQL app, and website. Just an update after yesterday's action, after that conversation with Danny Green. The finals prices, the future prices as they stand right now. Celtics still the favorite, plus 140 at BetMGM to win the title, closely followed by the Nuggets at plus 240. Shocker, everybody's saying those are the two best teams. Nick and Ken think those are the two best teams. And then a very steep drop off. The Thunder, the Mavs, the Timberwolves, all at 14, 16, and 18 to 1, respectively. And then all the way down are the Bucks at 20, the 76ers at 40, and then the Cavs, Lakers, Suns, Pelicans, Heat, and Magic. If anybody wants to bet the Magic, 500 to 1, feel free. And then as far as tonight's games go, we have the Heat and the Celtics. The Heat 14.5 point underdogs for the game in Boston, game two. Boston obviously up 1-0 in that series after they smoked the Heat on Sunday. And then the next game, Pelicans and Thunder in Oklahoma City tonight. The Thunder, 7.5 point favorites over the Pelicans for game two. And Nick and Ken will talk about this more, of course, going to have more conversation with that. Matt Moore is going to join the guys to break down the games, the futures prices, everything, like I said, that your little heart could desire for the NBA playoffs and for what you want to bet. And also joining on the show will be Anthony Amico. Nick and Ken will have an NFL draft conversation with him. And of course, the Power Hour and all of the bets that you want with You Better You Bet and with Nick and Ken when you watch. But coming up next, going to have a conversation with Herm Edwards. The NFL draft is tomorrow. Have a ton of bets to give out for that. Nick and Ken will break it down, but we are going to have a conversation with Herm Edwards. He broke down Jaden Daniels. He broke down what he's seeing, what he expects to see, and obviously drew from his experience as a coach, as a player, and had a lot of insight and thoughts there as well. So stick around. Going to have that coming up for you next as we get you ready for the NFL draft. I'm Jake Hassan. This is the You Better You Bet pregame show. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Ken Barkley. Coming up later in the show, did we see anyone last night that we think can provide some resistance against the Denver Nuggets winning their second straight Western Conference? See you at 4 o'clock Eastern today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, what's up? Ken Barkley here, and you're listening to the You Better You Bet pregame show. Coming up later today, is contrarianism still the philosophy you want to have in the NFL draft? Jaden Daniels or Drake May for the second pick? Drake May or anybody else for the third overall pick? Where's JJ McCarthy going to go? Plus, we continue our betting breakdowns for the NBA and hockey postseasons. See you at the top of the hour. Now, back to Jake.
Welcome back. The You Better You Bet pregame show rolls right along. Reminder, you can watch us, watch You Better You Bet, watch the entire BetQL network directly, free, the Odyssey app. Check us out on Twitch, YouTube, BetQL.com. We also watch You Better You Bet on Stadium, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, watchstadium.com, YouTube TV, Roku channel, all those good places. And listen, You Better You Bet live on the Sirius Channel 160 and Sirius XM 205. What we have coming up on You Better You Bet today, 4 o'clock, top of the show. You know what it is, recapping all the bets, all the action from last night. 5 o'clock, Anthony Amico, Establish the Run, going to go through his mock draft, go through what he thinks is going to happen tomorrow in the NFL draft. 5:40, just talked about NBA in the last segment. We're going to do more of it with Matt Moore from the Action Network. He joins. He's going to break down with Nick and Ken all the NBA action, what he's betting, what he's going to be betting going forward. And then final hour, power hour. Everybody knows what it is. It's clockwork. It's your favorite. It's what you come for. And it'll be there. Nick and Ken's picks in the power hour. But it's almost here. The day is almost upon us. We've been waiting for it. The NFL draft tomorrow in Detroit, tomorrow night. Top five picks. Nobody really knows what's going to happen. I mean, we know what's going to happen at number one. The Bears are going to take Caleb Williams. We've known that for months. But Jaden Daniels is the favorite at number two, minus 450. But Nick and Ken talked about it. Are we sure? Are we sure? It's looking likelier, but are we sure that that's what's going to happen? Then the next couple picks, really anything could happen. Drake May is minus 300 to be the third overall pick, followed by Marvin Harrison Jr., minus 225 at number four, and J.J. McCarthy, just can't believe we're still doing this, at plus 230 at number five overall. So that's what it looks like for right now for the NFL draft. Obviously, there's going to be movement. We've seen movement happening over the last 24 hours as it is. Nick and Ken will break that all down once You Better You Bet gets started at the top of the hour, and we'll talk about that, and they'll break it down and give you all their thoughts on the line movement. Maybe we'll get another mock draft from Nick. Who knows? But yesterday, Herm Edwards joined the show to break down what he thinks is going to happen in the NFL draft. Talked about his relationships with players, what he expects to see, talked about his experience as a coach and as a player in the NFL. Obviously has a lot of experience in the NFL and has a good feel for these types of things. So yesterday, like I said, Nick and Ken were joined by Herm Edwards to break down the QBs, break down the draft, which players are poised for success, and how much he respects his former quarterback, Jaden Daniels.
Happy draft week. This is always an exciting part of the NFL. New talent that teams can acquire, obviously, through the college draft. I mean, that's the lifeblood of the NFL. And then you think about the position that always seems to stand out is the quarterback position. So a lot of really good quarterbacks coming out. You just mentioned the one guy, Jaden Daniels. I spoke with Jaden yesterday, actually. So he's doing well. He's excited. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Coach, just curious, obviously, you know Daniels, I mean, far better than we do, obviously, cross paths with him in college. He is, like, a big favorite to be the second overall pick. There's a lot of kind of scuttlebutt, like, where are these quarterbacks going to go? Is Washington going to pick Jaden Daniels second overall? Two-part question, like, do you think that the Washington Commanders will pick him second overall? And if they do pick him, what kind of player are they getting?
Well, I would hope they would pick him. I know I would pick him. It wouldn't be a question. But they're basically getting Randall Cunningham, if you boil it down. And I played with Randall in my career there in Philadelphia toward the end. And attributes are about the same. Randall was about 6'4", 215. Jaden 6'3", about 210. But they have the same attributes when you watch him play. I told Jaden that when he came to SU. I said, you remind me of a guy I played with, Randall Cunningham. And I think that that's where he'll go. To Washington. With that being said, I think it's a good spot for him. You know, you got a new head coach. They're trying to build a program, and there's no better guy to build it around than him.
Did Jaden tell you that he's going to Washington? I'm just kidding. And like, and if you knew the answer, I don't want you to say it on the air. I don't want you to betray that relationship. But I felt like I had to at least ask the question. I don't, you know, obviously don't have to answer it. So the betting market thinks Jaden Daniels, coach, is going to be the second overall pick. He's a big favorite to be the second overall pick. I think the one thing that everyone feels like supremely confident in heading into Thursday is that Caleb Williams is going to go first overall to the Chicago Bears. It feels like a fait accompli. Massive favorite in the betting market that Caleb goes first overall. So if indeed he is the pick to Chicago, so Caleb Williams will be the new franchise quarterback of the Bears. You know, they loaded up this offseason, bringing in Keenan Allen, among others. Defense was really good to end the season. They bring back Matt Eberflus. Bears win total next year sitting at 8.5. And this does not have to be like Herman Edwards' best bet. That's not what this is. Just like, do you think in Caleb Williams' rookie year, the Bears are more likely to go above 500, 9-8 or better, or struggle a little bit in the first season for Caleb Williams? So what do you see for the Bears if indeed it's Caleb Williams as the new franchise quarterback?
Well, I think when you look at the Bears and you know how they played last year, they were 7-10 football team. They were 2-4 in the division. The Lions obviously are probably if you're betting right now, you probably say the Lions are probably, you know, in the clubhouse, they're the favorite. Packers have a young quarterback. The Vikings obviously will pick up a quarterback. Green Bay ended up 9-8. The Vikings 7-10, and then, you know, the Bears were 7-10. Now, with that being said, when you get a quarterback like Caleb Williams, obviously, I've always said this, when you get a guy like that, can he win you three more games? Can he win you three more games? Can you flip it from 7-10 to 10-7? And I think if he gets off to a good start, they continue to play defense the way they played. You know, schedule has a lot to do with it early in the season. You know, how do they bring him along? They got a chance to win 10 games. There's no doubt about that.
Coach, a couple other quarterbacks, obviously, that we expect to go pretty early in the draft. Drake May from North Carolina, but also J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. And, like, you've been around the league a while, you know, like, there's always that one or two players. Maybe it's a quarterback, maybe it's not. And you start hearing all the reports at the combine and hearing all the reports at the interviews. Like, everybody loves this guy, and he's rocketing up draft boards. Seems like, especially early in the process, that was J.J. McCarthy. And I know there's this kind of disconnect, right, because he didn't have the gaudy numbers like the Jaden Daniels did, for example, you compared to Randall Cunningham before. But yet everybody still seems to think this guy is like a can't-miss prospect and should be taken really early on. Like, how difficult is that when, like, you know, you might be the coach of a team and the franchise quarterback might be a guy who's never had gaudy numbers before, but he wins a lot of games? What about J.J. McCarthy and maybe his chances of success at the next level, wherever he goes?
Well, you like guys that can win. Obviously, he was coached very well by one of the better coaches now. He's in the National Football League, Coach Harbaugh. And you're right, he didn't have the gaudy numbers, but the system didn't allow him to have the gaudy numbers. And so, you know, you always got to look at that. What system did he play in? And Harbaugh's a guy, you know, these quarterbacks aren't going back 40 times and throwing passes. He's not going to do that. He's going to run the football. He's going to be balanced. When you have your opportunities to throw it, you got to make the throws. And I say sometimes that's even harder for a quarterback in today's world. When you know, some quarterbacks go into the ball game, they go, you know, I'm going to get to throw it about 40 times. Okay, some quarterbacks go into it when you're a running football team, you're going, I'm going to throw it maybe 25, 30 times at most. And, you know, so, you know, my decisions, my completion rate has to be a little bit better in the fact that I'm not getting a lot of opportunities. Now, if I'm behind, obviously, but for the most part, when you play games the way they play, they're tight games. So I like him. I do. I just think, you know, he's a guy that kind of went under the radar screen because he played for Michigan. He didn't have his gaudy numbers, like you say, but he's a good quarterback.
You better, you bet, here with Nick and Ken on a Tuesday. We're talking the NFL draft, all things National Football League, with the great Herman Edwards, ESPN NFL analyst, former NFL and college football head coach. He's on Twitter at Herm Edwards. Coach, there was a report that came out earlier today that your guy Antonio Pierce and the Las Vegas Raiders explored moving up to the second overall pick with the Washington Commanders, presumably to take a quarterback, and were rebuffed from there. Now, other reports say that the Patriots are open for business with the third overall pick. What's your sense as to what the Las Vegas Raiders are looking to do here, with, again, reports starting to come out that they are very interested about moving up again, presumably for a quarterback?
Yeah, they want Jaden. There's no doubt. I mean, you know, Antonio was on my staff in Arizona State, and he's known Jaden since he was in high school. So, you know, Jaden's a West Coast guy, lives in Los Angeles. They're going to do everything they can to try to move up. And you're right. You know, to getting up to number two would be very difficult, probably. But now, when you mentioned, you know, getting up to maybe even number four, with where they're at. They sit at 13. That's interesting. And maybe even at three, if New England doesn't want Jaden Daniels, if they feel like we can get another guy, that would be interesting. But, yeah, the Raiders are trying to get him. There's no doubt about that.
Pretty interesting there. Coach, I want to ask you real quick about another team in the Raiders division that made some news the other day. The Denver Broncos acquired Zach Wilson from the Jets. And I think what a lot of people are trying to figure out is, would Sean Payton and the Broncos go into the season with Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson and maybe nobody else on their quarterback depth chart? Or are they still maybe in the market to draft a quarterback? What did you make of that move? And do you still think the Broncos might take a quarterback in this draft, maybe early?
Not surprising, but by the Jets move, and I think he needs a new atmosphere, obviously, and a new start. He's going to a place where you have the quarterback whisperer in Sean Payton. He's really good with quarterbacks. He would play in a system that would allow him, to get the ball out and those type of things. So that will help him. I think Sean's always looking for a quarterback. That's just him. I think he has two to start with, but he's going to look. There's no doubt about it. And if somebody slips through the cracks that he likes, he'll get a guy. I mean, he's the guy that he understands the quarterback position as good as anybody in the National Football League. And when you make a trade like that, that's saying something, right? I mean, that's saying something. Everybody else talked about that young guy and, the Jets were going to get rid of him and all that kind of stuff. And now he's found a place where a coach that can coach the quarterbacks now has been very successful in his career. He's playing with him now.
Coach, there are conflicting thoughts as to whether Washington quarterback Michael Penix will go in the first round. Some NFL insiders adamant that he's going to be selected in the top half of the first round. Others think he's not going to be selected until round two or round three, probably round two, right, on Friday night. Based on what you've heard, do you think Michael Penix gets drafted on Thursday night or Friday night here in about 30 seconds?
He has a chance to go on Thursday night. I think when you keep looking and you're watching, and if you want a guy of his skill set, if you wait to number two, depending when you pick, you might not get him. So, when you need a quarterback and he'll fit your system and he's athletic and you like him, pick him. Don't mess around.
Final question here, Coach. Besides for Caleb Williams going first and Jaden Daniels going second, which I think a lot of people think is like going to happen on Thursday night to the Washington Commanders, what is the one thing that you feel most confident in happening on Thursday night to close here in about 30 seconds?
I think there'll be a run on quarterbacks in the first round. I think five of them can go in the first round.
And Penix would be the fifth, like not Bo Nix, if you just had to guess.
Well, I don't know that, but I think there'll be a run on these quarterbacks. I just do, because look, we all know, guys, if you don't have a quarterback, the field's 150 yards long, and there's some young ones coming out, and if you can get one of them, you got to go get them.
That was Herm Edwards. As a Bears fan who has never, ever known happiness in the 26 years of life that I've been on this floating rock, really hope he's right about Caleb Williams being a guy that can help you win 10 games. That'd be pretty cool to experience happiness for once. Would really appreciate that. Caleb Williams minus 10,000 to be the number one overall pick. Nick and Ken will have more draft talk today starting at the top of the hour. Anthony Amico will join the program to go through his draft projections, his mock draft, what he thinks is going to happen. So starting at the top of the hour, going to be a ton more NFL draft talk with Nick and Ken. The odds as they are now, just said Caleb Williams minus 10,000, number one overall. Jaden Daniels minus 450. You just heard Herm Edwards talk about him and what he thinks he could be in the NFL. Drake May, the favorite at number three overall, minus 300, followed by Marvin Harrison Jr., minus 225. Then finally get into the plus money with J.J. McCarthy, Malik Nabers, Joe Alt, Leatu Latu at plus money to go 5, 6, 7, 8, respectively. Number nine, Byron Murphy, plus 130. That's new today. That moved a lot. Nick and Ken will have that to break down. They'll ask Anthony Amico about that for sure. And then number 10, Brock Bowers, plus 150. So all that NFL draft talk, if you want to listen to that again or more, And reminder, anytime, could go watch or listen live, the BetQL Network 24/7, Twitch, YouTube, the Odyssey app, BetQLnetwork.com. Coming up top of the hour, the rest of the show, told you there'll be NFL draft talk, told you about Anthony Amico. Also going to have Matt Moore to talk NBA playoffs and discuss what he's betting. Going to have plenty of picks in the Power Hour, of course, and then to recap all of the action from last night as well. But coming up next, as the You Better You Bet pregame show rolls on, we are going to go back to the playoffs, but this time going to the ice, going to the NHL playoffs, going to have a conversation with Rob Pozzola, Circles Off, friend of the show, to get you ready for the NHL playoffs, the games, what he's seeing, what he's betting. So stick around for the next segment. We're going to get you ready to bet the NHL playoffs with Rob Pozzola. That'll be next. Stay right here.
What's up, everybody? Nick Costos here. Coming up later on the show, are the Celtics and Nuggets destined for an NBA Finals showdown? And we'll give you our NBA bets for the night. We'll catch you at 4 o'clock Eastern. What's up, everybody? Nick Costos here, and you're listening to the You Better You Bet pregame show. Coming up later today, we're going to get you set to bet tomorrow's first round of the NFL draft. Our pal Anthony Amico stops by from Establish the Run, and we'll continue our betting breakdowns on all things NBA and NHL postseason. We will catch you at the top of the hour. Now back to Jake the Snake.
Welcome back, the You Better You Bet pregame show. Last segment here before Nick and Ken take over. Reminder, you can watch us, watch the BetQL Network anytime that you want, anytime that you please. YouTube, Twitch, and the BetQLnetwork.com website, app, wherever you get your podcast to, you can listen to us. So go get, as Nick would say, that app, and go follow, subscribe, and watch us wherever you are. And, of course, coming up today, as we mentioned, as you just heard Nick mention, Anthony Amico joins to break down the NFL draft. We have Matt Moore coming on from the Action Network to break down the NBA playoffs, what he's betting, and, of course, the Power Hour, all of Nick and Ken's picks, everything that they are seeing, everything that they are betting. That'll all be coming up at the top of the hour in just a little bit here with Nick and Ken. But for now, this is the You Better You Bet pregame show, and we're about to get into some hockey. Rob Pozzola joined Nick and Ken yesterday. A bunch of games tonight. Bruins and Leafs, Toronto favored, -1.5 on the line. Over under is at 6 for that game. Game 2 of Knights and Stars, Dallas favored there, -1.5 on the puck line. Over under, the total is at 6 there as well. And another game 2, the nightcap, Kings Oilers, Edmonton favored 1.5 on the puck line, and the total set at 6. But yesterday, Nick and Ken dove into betting the Stanley Cup playoffs with Rob Pozzola, friend of the show, Circles Off podcast. Are any teams capable of a late series run? Who currently sits at the top of the playoff bracket? And which player can take home the Conn Smythe trophy?
Toronto hockey, Toronto sports is just like complete panic after game one. Everyone wants to fire everyone, change the entire team. We need to do this in the offseason. It's like it's only one game. Leafs played really well last night. But I'm pretty excited this time of year. I love playoff hockey, I think, more than any other sport, just because, like, these games are amazing. It's just like a different energy in all of these games. So happy to be back with you guys talking puck.
Yeah, and Rob, you know, Nick, obviously a Knicks fan, was kind of detailing in the first hour, like, what it's like being a Knicks fan, where, you know, like, something good happens and you're just constantly waiting for, like, the agonizing other shoe to drop, and, like, you know something bad is just around the corner. And we've seen this with the Maple Leafs so many, I mean, I don't have to tell you how many times we've seen it, like, how many times even just against Boston in the postseason that we've seen it. They play the Bruins 4 times in the regular season, they lose all 4. Like, it's really, it's kind of just like, how could you feel good about this? And yet, in that one play, the clip that we played with Matthews taking the lead, it just feels like everything kind of turned a little bit. So the series, game 3 is lined essentially pick the winner. The series is basically lined pick the winner with some small deviations. Do you actually let yourself think as a bettor or a fan that Toronto can maybe do this?
I do. I mean, I'm opposite you guys going into the series, not really a homer bet. I mean, if I could go back in time, I wouldn't have placed the bet knowing that William Nylander could potentially miss the series for the Leafs because he's such an impactful player for them, especially in the playoffs. His ability to gain the blue line without having to dump it in is something that the Leafs are missing right now. But I think the Leafs on paper are better than the Boston Bruins. It's just a matter of whether or not they can get the goaltending that they did last night, where Ilya Samsonov made some huge saves down the stretch to keep them in the game, and he outplayed Ullmark on the other side. So if they can get that goaltending, I think the Leafs can honestly beat everyone. I'm not saying that as a homer. That's just their question mark going into the playoffs. But ultimately, I would expect a response from Boston in game three. I mean, they had the lead for the majority of that game last night. They're a team that does play well on the road, and they can really play a suffocating style of hockey in Toronto. So I don't disagree with the line right now. I do think that this series is pretty much a virtual coin flip at this point. I would tilt things to the Leafs' favor if they can get Nylander back in the short term, but that's not a guarantee that's going to happen in this series.
Give me 10 seconds on this, and then we'll move. I'll ask you about another series. What in all series? Like, you're a Leafs fan, and you have money on the Leafs here. What do you think about the Bruins rotating goalies here in the postseason? In like 10 seconds, and then I'll ask you about something else.
So fully expected them to go to Ullmark last night because I think that was their plan going into the playoffs. As a Leafs fan, I was happy to see Ullmark in that last night. I think the Bruins should have rode Swayman for at least one more game, but this is what's worked for them all year long. This is why they're in the position that they're in now, is because they have two number one goalies, and they didn't really have to go to a backup at any point this year, but I would have rode the hot hand in Swayman, who's had the Leafs number all year, basically.
Well, it's like they say in the National Football League. If you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterback. I don't know if it's the same thing with NHL goalies, but whatever. It looked like it last night. Another result from last night, Rob, in the Eastern Conference. The Islanders up 3-0 on the Carolina Hurricanes and end up losing the game 5-3. The Hurricanes like set NHL records. Game tying and go-ahead goal 9 seconds apart in the third period of a playoff game. Carolina storms back to win 5-3. Up now 2-0 in that series. I don't know if Ilya Sorokin will start when the series shifts back to Long Island. I think that's probably what they'll do. Patrick Roy will probably make a switch. I could be wrong about that, but that's my sense, is that Sorokin will play. Any reason to believe that the Islanders can come back against Carolina? Any betting thoughts with the Islanders and the Canes?
I think the only reason to believe is that it's the sport of hockey and that anything can happen. But I think that this series is very likely over. Even though the Islanders haven't played a home game yet, there's just such a massive discrepancy between these two teams. Like, these teams are not even close to being in the same league. The only way the Islanders are going to win this series is if they get A-plus goaltending. And it's not like Varlamov has played bad. He just hasn't been unreal. So they're probably going to go to Sorokin when they go home. He's going to have to turn into the Sorokin from last year, who, you know, was just basically lights out. But even then, that might not be enough, trailing 2-0. I mean, the season series between these two teams was extremely lopsided. They've played 6 times now this year. Shot attempts are 529 to 259 for the Hurricanes. Like, they're doubling the Islanders in shot attempts. New York Islanders can't win this series unless their goalie plays lights out. And it could happen. It's hockey. I just don't want anything to do with the Islanders.
Rob, in the West, we had two results last night. We had two series that hadn't started that were kind of like the late arrivals, basically, because of some of the results that we got late in the season. So Vegas-Dallas, which is like a banger of a series, and Vegas wins game one. In Dallas, Ottinger doesn't play particularly well. And then Edmonton, like, this feels like a huge mismatch. It doesn't have to play out that way, but, like, they beat the Kings. With Thatcher Demko's injury, maybe we could ask you about that series in a second. Like, let's say he doesn't play. It does feel a lot, Nick and I were talking about this right before the show, like Vegas and Edmonton are just going to play in the Western Conference Finals. Like, that's where we're headed right now. Do you agree with that? Like, do you have as high a degree of confidence as we do that we're kind of on track now because of the Demko injury for Vegas against Vegas against the Oilers, excuse me. And then who would you have if they ended up playing?
I'm not putting Vegas there just yet because I actually thought Dallas played a good game last night. And it was just like the Jake Ottinger make a save challenge, which he couldn't do for the first period and a half of that game. And ultimately, you know, Ottinger didn't have the best year, but I do believe in his ability to turn it around. But I do like the winner of that series in all likelihood against the winner of Colorado and Winnipeg. Edmonton to me is just a machine. And in years past, you know, teams would really try to grind them down. The Kings are not the same grinded down team that they were in years past. They do have some very good checking centermen, but I mean, the Oilers are just so talented. You add in the Demko injury now for Vancouver, and to me, Edmonton's very clearly the best team on that side of the bracket. So I do think the Edmonton Oilers will be in the Western Conference Finals. I think you can make a case for any of the other teams really on the other side, but Dallas-Vegas to me is not over just yet. I do Still think the Stars are very live even after losing game one.
Rob, we only have a couple minutes left, and this has kind of worked out well because I get to ask you about like the thing that I'm most confident in, which is a team we haven't talked about yet. Like, who's going to win the Stanley Cup? You've given us like thoughts on almost all the teams. There are some teams in the East we haven't talked about yet. I really like Florida. I think they're the most likely team to win. Maybe not because of path. Like, they're going to have to play the Rangers or the Hurricanes at some point. They might have to play the Maple Leafs in the next round. It's almost like Denver. The path is tougher, but I just like them the most. Do you agree with me that Florida is either the most or one of the most likely teams to win? And if it's not them, who do you like more, let's say in about a minute?
Yeah, so I really like Florida as a team. I also don't think this series is necessarily over yet. Tampa Bay has a you know, proven goaltender. They didn't play the greatest game in game one, and Florida's definitely better than Tampa. But the Panthers have such a great forecheck. They have three lines that they can roll now that Verhaeghe's back as well. They got Ekblad back on defense. Bobrovsky's having a good year. So I can't deny that at all. If Florida was to meet Carolina in the conference finals, I'd probably slightly prefer Carolina in that matchup. I think they're pretty evenly matched teams, but I like Carolina's back end just a little bit more. I think they have a little bit more depth on the blue line, but that would make for a great series. If Florida played the Rangers, I honestly would like Florida quite a bit in that series because I just don't think the Rangers forwards can stack up. They will get Hedl back. That's going to be a big thing for them. But Florida and Carolina are big puck possession teams. The Rangers are not. So I think you'll see the Rangers play in their own end a lot in that series. Typically, you just don't want that in hockey. But I don't disagree, Ken. I mean, I've loved the Panthers all year. They had a little bit hit a little bit of a rut towards the end of the season. I marginally prefer Carolina, but that series to me would be pretty close to a toss-up.
Lightning round to close, like 15 seconds per. Any betting thoughts on Rangers Capitals? It could be game two tonight. Anything moving forward, 15 seconds.
I would only ever consider the Capitals, even though they got lambasted in game one. The Rangers, you know, they're a little bit of an F around and find out team every now and then, where I don't trust them in these big favorite roles, but I'm not betting the Caps. That's the only way I would look, but I'm not putting my money down on them.
15 seconds. As of right now, what is the Stanley Cup final matchup and who wins? 15 seconds.
Edmonton Oilers, Carolina Hurricanes, and the Carolina Hurricanes win the Stanley Cup.
Coming up with Nick and Ken at top of the hour, three games tonight. You know that Nick and Ken are going to be waiting for the goalie announcement for the Bruins because they've talked about it every single game. So they'll go through those games, go through the futures prices as well for the rest of the NHL. Also coming up in just a couple minutes to start, You Better You Bet, have Anthony Amico to join the show to talk about NFL draft, go through his mock, go through his projections, what he's betting, and Matt Moore too joining to talk the NBA, talk about the games, talk about his bets and what he's seen with Nick and Ken. And then, of course, all of Nick and Ken's bets, their recaps, their thoughts, NBA, NHL, draft, gonna hit it all. That's coming up in just a little bit. Reminder, watch You Better You Bet. Watch the BetQL Network, YouTube, Twitch, the Odyssey app, BetQLNetwork.com for all your betting needs, for all your You Better You Bet needs especially. So this has been the You Better You Bet pregame show. Nick and Ken coming up in just a couple minutes to break down everything that we're going to see tonight, everything that we're going to see for the playoffs, and of course, the NFL draft.
Hey, it's Ken Barkley. Coming up later in the show, did we see anyone last night that we think can provide some resistance against the Denver Nuggets winning their second straight Western?